Well, hallelujah. Happy Sabbath to everyone here. We'd like to welcome our visitors, and it's our prayer that situation that's going on, that Yahweh takes care of it. We know that He does all good things for His people. We've seen it in the Bible study. We see it in our lives. As you see here in this slide, it says, remember the Sabbath day, rest, reflect, and rejoice. Sometimes it's not easy to do, but we have to try our best to honor Yahweh. And sometimes we have to just give Him control of everything, and He's going to do what He's going to do. We just have to worship Him in spirit and truth. So many choices. This title was inspired by a conversation I had with a coworker. I'm a kind of cell phone geek myself, and so we're sitting there talking about electronic devices, and every time he came by me, he kept saying, so many choices, so many choices. I says, you know what, I'm going to use that, try to apply it, give it a spiritual sense. And the title is So Many Choices, but it's about free will, and we have a lot of choices to make in this life, but there's one that's really important and all that matters, and it's gonna affect us, and it's going to affect our families also, as we'll see. So many choices. We all have free will, and it is an awesome thing that the Almighty affords everyone this gift. It's like the fruit of the Spirit. You know, we got gifts given to us. Sadly, many people abuse this free gift. And hopefully, this message will touch young and old. In Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 9, it basically tells us, you know, go ahead, enjoy yourself while you are young, but remember that the choices you make, you will have to answer for. So it reads there, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things Elohim will bring thee into judgment. Young or old, whether you're rich or you're poor, whether you're on the top, whether you're on the bottom, all these men that are in power right now, they have to answer for the decisions that they make. So it doesn't really matter what your status is. You're going to have to answer for what you do, for the choices that you make. For instance, we've seen in the slide, rest, reflect, and rejoice. You can do this. You can go out, you know, get on your boat, get on a canoe, and take a ride. I don't know if you want to do that on the Sabbath. Maybe you like fishing and go fishing. But see, some of these things, I don't know if we want to do these on the Sabbath. People that don't know any better, that's what they're going to do. They're going to do what their heart desires, what their flesh desires. But again, they have free will. They will have to answer for these things. We're not saying that they're bad people. They can always come into the truth. Or you can take a jump in one of these. Shared a story with a brother, Michael Martin. We went to a drive-in volcano. And we had these females there, you know, they thought they were going to the beach. They took a dip. They jumped into the water. Little did they know, it was 82 degrees. So just as quick as they jumped in, they jumped right out. It's your choice. Sometimes we don't know about the choices that we're making. That's why there's a saying, you know, you got to make an educated choice, an educated decision. You wouldn't want to jump into one of those. Very hot. Okay, these scriptures up here, I'll just give you a head start. These are basically some of the scriptures that I'm going to talk on. And I put them up here, that way you can write them down. You can study them. They may not directly be talking with the subject that I'm sharing. But we'll see if we can work them into the study. So, Yahweh gives free will to all, but ultimately He hopes we would all come to our senses and choose the right way to live. Another thing, I'm glad we have young and old here. It wasn't my intent to just focus on the young generation. But sometimes when you let Yahweh take over your sermon, you know, He's going to speak. And so whatever He gives to speak, that's what we go with. The scriptures say in Psalm chapter 4, verse 6, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Yahweh, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. So there are many doubters out there. And some are this way only because they witness hypocrisy among scripture believers. They might come into an assembly, they might come into a church. If they see hypocrisy there, that's going to turn them off. And so they're going to have doubts about Yahweh's people. That's why we have to show love to people when they come here, when they visit us, when they don't always agree with the doctrines that are set forth in the statement of beliefs. We still have to show love when we come to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We don't come together to, fuss and fight about doctrine. We come together to worship Yahweh. That's the ultimate goal. When we come together on the Shabbat, we come together to worship Yahweh, not to fuss and fight about doctrine. We can always do that on a separate time and when we're calm, and that's what we do. Free will involves a choice. Think about it. You have a choice what to wear when you come to services and so on. One way or another, if we have the capacity to comprehend what we are doing, we will be called to answer for that, for what we did, the knowledge that we possess, everything that you're going to be called into account on that. For instance, we know some people, let's just be honest. They could be in their 30s and their 40s, but they don't have the mental capacity. Is Yahweh going to condemn them because they didn't know about the Sabbath? Abba is not like that. He's not like man. He doesn't go by sight. He goes by the heart. And sometimes it's better, when you have people like this, they don't have the capacity, but you know what? They have love and joy. They love life. And sometimes they put us to shame because sometimes we get too serious. Yahweh wants us to rejoice in the truth. So the first scripture there, 2 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. And I guess some of these scriptures will bring us into the topic. We always have to lay a foundation there. So we have doubters. We're going to have them. We're always going to have them. We always had them. The evil one put doubt in Eve's mind in the garden. That's how she sinned. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. It says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So the apostle here, he already knew this. He's not telling us anything new. We already seen that in Psalm chapter 4, verse 6. It says, who will show us any good? They're talking to the king. They're saying, what's wrong with this situation? In the Bible study, we have questions. Why are people not following Yahweh? If they have Yahweh, why are they not doing the right thing? So these are things that worldly people are asking themselves. What is wrong with those people? Why don't they do what is right? Why are they suffering in so many ways? Deuteronomy 6, I had there verse 29. But let's see, I think it's verse 25. I might have wrote that down wrong. You can double check, man. Let's double check that while we're here. Deuteronomy 6. It's verse 25. I wrote it down wrong there, so that's good that we can double check. Deuteronomy 6, 25. It reads there, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before Yahweh our Elohim as he commanded us. So why do you have a statement of belief? Why do you keep the Sabbath? Why do you always talk about the name? Why do you always talk about Yahshua? And why do you always talk about clean foods and so on? Because that's what it says here in Deuteronomy. If we do what Yahweh commands us, it's going to be our righteousness. That's what the scripture says. How are you a righteous person? You follow Yahweh. Many people are going to disagree with you when you make a mistake. They're going to point fingers because you choose to follow Yahweh and not some other deity. But that comes with the territory. The scripture in Deuteronomy is applicable to us If we are grafted into the Hebraic faith, you cannot partake in promises if you're out there sinning against Yahweh. It's unbelievable. Some people think that way. We can partake in the blessings if we're obedient, but we must also partake in the curses if we're disobedient. So you say that, you know, the church is going to replace Israel? Well, you're going to partake in the cursings if you're not doing what the scriptures say. You see, that goes with lifting our pride up. You know, when we're prideful, Abba will humble us. Some people just want to claim the blessings, but they don't want to obey Yahweh fully, or they just want to go halfway. They want the blessings, but they don't want to obey Yahweh. If we want to read of brothers and sisters who were obedient and victorious over the flesh, we only need to read Hebrews chapter 11. The good thing about Hebrews chapter 11, there's men and there's women there. So Yahweh shows no favoritism, whether you're man, woman, even if you're a child. When we read last week in the Bible study, it says there that a young girl, a young maid, told Naaman what to do so he could be healed of his leprosy. So hallelujah and blessed be Yahweh for that. Yahweh speaks through us through a donkey. Yahweh speaks through us through young children. And if that's not enough, if Yahshua said that if we wouldn't praise, that even the rocks would cry out. Hallelujah for that. How great is Yahweh. Even though some people made mistakes, they were known as blameless and righteous. Why? Because they were doing what was right in Yahweh's eyes. And yes, they made mistakes. But that's how we are as humans. When they were into the spiritual realm, they were doing what was right. And Yahweh recognized that. All Abraham had to do was believe in Yahweh, it said, and it was counted to him as righteousness, even though he made a mistake. So there's brethren such as Noah, Abraham, and King David, to name a few. As we know, messengers in heaven, and Adam and Eve, they had free will, and they made choices. And the choices that Adam and Eve made, they affect us right now. Except for the Messiah, everyone after Adam and Eve was born in sin. Every single person. There's not much we can do about that. We can't change that. What we can do is repent and be baptized into the name of Yahshua and have the hands laid on us. But when we become of accountable age, again, we can repent and be baptized. That's one of the ways that you can partake in the Passover emblems. Yahweh requires a circumcised heart, a clean vessel, so he can put his spirit in you to work with you. But that's a choice that you make. And when you choose to get baptized, you need counseling so that you know the fire that's going to come upon you, so you can be prepared for these things, so you won't be surprised. Next scripture, Ezekiel 18 and verse 23. Ezekiel 18. Verse 23, sometimes we're like shocked at the things that happen in our lives. And when we go back and we read the scriptures, Peter says there, don't be surprised as if some strange thing happened to you. Remember, we committed a lot of sins that we don't even deserve to live. So in Ezekiel 18 and verse 23, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? Saith my sovereign Yahweh, and not that he should return from his ways and live. Here's an example. We can read about all these wicked kings, about all these wicked servants. What does that scripture says? Does Yahweh find pleasure in all those wicked people dying? It says no. He would rather that they would repent and turn from their wicked ways. But they had a choice, and they made it, and they went with it. And they have to suffer the consequences, or they have to find joy in the blessings that they get. For some people, what is the joy of being in the body of Messiah? Persecution. You say, why? Because Yahweh knows that they can handle it, and he gives it to them, and they go through it, and they persevere, and it's a blessing. And we can see that, and we have to say, praise Yahweh, that he delivered him. That's the only way we can figure that out, because we don't know everything that Yahweh is doing. He's doing it for his own purpose. So even from the most incorrigible to the poor in spirit peasant, Yahweh is so merciful that he feels pain when any of his creation have to be put to death because of rebellion. To the point that he had to turn his back on Yahshua, who committed no sin. Yahshua is sitting there on the tree. He's dying for what? He didn't do anything wrong. But he has to die. He had to die for us. Why? Because we're so wicked. We need a Savior. Yahweh had to turn his back on his own son. Why? Because of us. We can read in the pages of Scripture that the choice that our righteous forefathers and even Messiah made, and how in the end Yahweh blesses those who choose life and good. Yahshua chose life and good, and he still died. Imagine that, people smacking him across the face. People who didn't even deserve to live have the nerve to smack him in the face. Why? Because they didn't know any better, so they made a choice. The purpose of the good news is so that people would turn from their wayward ways to Yahweh. Or if you're already a righteous person, it's to be encouraged to continue in the faith. Some people, after so many years, they keep asking themselves, why do I even bother if bad things continue to happen? It's like we get confused. But we have to turn to the scriptures and we have to worship Yahweh, and he will take care of the rest. Worry sometimes becomes our deity. Think about it. We worry to the point, and then we ask ourselves, why? We can't change certain things. Only Yahweh can do that. Go over to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And verses 18 through 23, this is also in Matthew and Mark, but I chose this passage here, Luke chapter 18 and verses 18 through 23. And it's good too, because sometimes we'll make a mistake up here on the printout, so you can double check these, make sure that we are in the right scripture. In Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 23, it says, "And a certain ruler asked him," talking about Yahshua, "saying, 'Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And Yahshua said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is Elohim, Yahweh.'" He recognizes that Yahweh is his Elohim. "Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." Notice he didn't tell you the first four verses. Okay, the first four commandments. He gave you the last six there. "Now when Yahshua heard, and he said, 'All these things have I kept from my youth up.' Now when Yahshua heard these things, he said unto him, 'Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me.' And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich." So Yahshua had to tell us a parable on why it is so hard for a rich person to make it into the kingdom, because a lot of times they're attached to their belongings. They don't want to let them go, especially if they have a lot of money. Okay, so we have a couple things here. In this passage, we see that this young man had a choice, and the Messiah answered his question correctly, did he not? He starts out by saying, "Why do you call me good?" As if to say, why do you try to gain good with me? You know, you're calling me good? There's only one that is good. Okay, he was saying that for a reason. He was humbling himself. He didn't want to put himself on a pedestal. So it seems the young man had a bit of pride by saying, "I kept everything there was to keep. What's next for me to do?" Isn't that what you read there? Isn't that a little bit of the context that we see there? So, even though "sell all that you have and give to the poor" is not written in the Torah per se, the Messiah is trying to tell the young man that his riches are keeping him from observing the Torah the way that is necessary. He says, "Sell all that you have and come follow me. Give what you have to the poor. They need that. You're keeping it from them." And that is why we read in James chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, 'Do not commit adultery,' said also, 'Do not kill.' Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law." So that's what Yahshua is trying to tell him. You say you kept all these commandments? Well, let me give you another one to keep and see if you're up to the challenge. The man wasn't up to the challenge. So we see pride there. We see he was a young ruler. It was in his best interest to make the right choice. He made the choice. What did he do? He had the Messiah standing right in front of him. How many of us here would love to be in front of Yahshua to ask him questions, to tug at him and say, "Why are these things happening?" So that is there for our admonition. If we think the scriptures don't apply, they do. Even a simple scripture like this. There is also the command, "Thou shalt not covet." The man said he kept all those commandments, but yet he was coveting his material goods. In 1 John, the last scripture here, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. This is for all of us. We all are going to have to make a choice. At the end of the day, we're all going to make a choice whether to keep the Sabbath or not, whether to walk in Yahweh's Torah or not. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of Elohim abideth forever." That applies to the young ruler. That applies to you and I. We have to go out in the world and, you know, do our things. We have to buy our material things. But it doesn't mean that we're of the world. You know, we don't love the things that the world loves to do. For instance, you saw those pictures. You know, there's people out there that are doing whatever they want to do right now. We choose to be here to worship Yahweh. We choose to transmit to brethren in other parts of the world. Maybe they hear the message, maybe they don't. It depends, but the message is out there so that people don't have an excuse. "Well, I never heard that teaching before." Well, did you read it in the scriptures? We can also read in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, how a couple named Hananiah and Sapphira sold some property and purposed in their heart they would give the money to the apostles. But when they failed to do so, they paid the ultimate price. You see? They were not afforded the opportunity to repent. No chance. This couple had a choice. They didn't have to make a vow to the apostles. But when they went back on their promise, the Almighty took their life. And this was done so others would take heed and not commit the same sin. If you're not going to follow through, then don't make a vow. It's just that simple. It's in the scriptures. It's as if they blasphemed the set-apart spirit. They didn't think that Abba could bless them, so they said, "You know, I'm going to keep some of this money back." We don't know what was in their hearts and minds, but the scripture is in there. The apostle reminds us of this. Lying to the Holy Spirit is synonymous with lying to Almighty Yahweh. Yahweh does things through the Holy Spirit. So that's why you have that synonymous thing going on there where you read in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit said, Yahweh is the one that said it. He said it through his Holy Spirit. He inspired the writer to write it down to remind us. In a lot of these scriptures, we can read about the weakness of man. We can read of how to properly observe the Torah or the instructions of Yahweh, if you prefer, if the word law is too much for you. We have observed that there will be doubters and scoffers who will not yield to the calling of Yahweh for one reason or another. They have to answer for that. We cannot answer for those outside the body. Last but not least, we know that the Almighty Yahweh is so merciful. He gives free will to all, but again, he hopes that those who he calls would repent and turn from their wicked ways. If he's calling you, pay attention. Listen to his voice. Don't go backwards if he's calling you. It's not going to be a good thing if Yahweh calls you and you go back on it. You're not going to be blessed. I can speak from experience on that one. So here we have, there's four personalities over there in, I believe it's Matthew 13. There's four personalities there. You know, some of these, I just thought them up, and you might agree. Maybe you might not agree. Four types of people right offhand. The people who know the truth and they follow it. They're in the scriptures. People who know the truth but refuse to follow it. They're in the scriptures. They're among us. Some of us, sometimes we refuse to follow Yahweh. Bam, a bad thing will happen to us. How many of us can raise our hand? We say we didn't follow Yahweh and a bad thing happened to us. I mean, it's, you did a good thing. Maybe something bad happened too. Sometimes we say, oh, I want to do something for this person, and it doesn't work out. Maybe the intention wasn't there. Maybe the timing. A lot of things is about the timing. Yahweh has a timing on when he's going to do something. One time, you know, we might go out, we might look for the new moon. We don't see it. Guess what? We have to postpone the Passover another month. So that's Yahweh's timing. We have there those who are ignorant of the truth, but do their best to be good people. We know a lot of them. A lot of them are our Christian friends. They read the scriptures. They do their best to be good people. They just don't have the whole package. They might not have the name. You know, they might not have Yahshua. They might not have the feast. Some have the feast. They don't have the name. Then you have those who are ignorant on purpose. We know a lot of them. They do something bad to you. You say, hey, listen, can you please not do that? I had a situation where people just kept coming to me, and they're talking directly to me, and they're cursing at me, and I say, hey, listen, is that how I talk to you? Why do you choose to operate like that? Some of them, they laugh. They think it's a joke. I said, no, I'm not joking. I'm being serious. If you want respect, even if you don't like a person, you have to respect. If you don't like scripture believers, we respect you. We respect, you know, you what you believe. We'll just leave it at that. Let's be respectful to one another. Let's do things, you know, in an orderly fashion and be brotherly about it. But if people choose to continue being scoffers, then I have to ignore them. And after a while, they'll come to me and say, you know, why do you just walk right by me? You act like I don't exist. I'll tell you why. And so you try to do it nicely. And the thing is about Yahweh, he tries to do it nicely. He tries to talk to you and I. He tries it nicely. If it doesn't work, he's going to twist our arm. If that doesn't work, he's going to break our leg. If that doesn't work, then, you know, he'll find another method. But he's going to get his message across. And so this is one thing that we're pointing out to people. You have a choice. You know, we're not saying you have to come to YRM. YRM is the only assembly with all the truth. Find the truth in the scriptures and follow it. That's the basic message. Repent from your wicked ways. Be baptized into the name of Yahshua the Messiah. Have the hands laid on you. And once you have the portion of the Holy Spirit, follow Yahweh. Don't try to continue doing it your way. That's not the reason why Yahweh gives you a portion of the Holy Spirit. It's so you can think like him and walk like him and act like him. So I have a couple of pictures there. And the moral to this story is you can choose to enjoy creation or you can choose to destroy it. You destroy Yahweh's creation. It's as if you're destroying him. You're trying, but you can't. And so guess what? There's going to be a curse in there for you. Just like adding words to Yahweh's Torah. He's not going to bless you if you add on to his words. He said it plainly, and he said it loud enough that we have it in black and white. We don't need to add or take away from it. That's why you read the Restoration Bible. It's intact. All we did was correct some offensive words. That's it. If you ask what Bible we read, it's a King James. You like the King James? There it is. Some people, you know, we love the King James. It's a very beautiful, poetic. Others, you know, choose a different, version. But the moral to the story is follow Yahweh. For a closing passage, I chose Psalm 95, verses 7 through 11. Psalm 95, verses 7 through 11. You can actually find this in Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4. And it's actually repeated two or three times, just so we get the idea. I'll give you a chance to get there. Psalm chapter 95, verses 7 through 11. Part of it is a song we used to sing. It starts out, "For he is our Elohim, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." But it continues, "Today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long I was grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest." We get Yahweh so upset to the point where he says, you're not going to make it into the kingdom. He said it to Moses, why wouldn't he say it to us? We're no better than Moses. So the hope that is before us is that through repentance and baptism into the name of Yahshua, we can have a portion of the power of the Holy Spirit that will assist us in walking as Yahshua walked and thinking as Yahweh and Yahshua think. Yahweh has made many promises to those who choose to obey him, and unlike us, he keeps all his promises. And may Yahweh bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for your attention.